Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Live Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, Intergalactic Ferry Studios. We offer you a look as surreal is by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sim flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Nick, can you feel it?
I can feel it. I can feel it, Lou.
And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So this is Lou, and I'm joined by young Nick Hazelton, the punk juvenile delinquent. Well, you're not really a juvenile anymore. You're 18, so the punk delinquent.
That's right.
And it's been a while since we've spoken. Last time I did a show with you was only with your spirit, like a month ago.
Yeah, I think I haven't done... it's been at least a month since I've done a show. I did one earlier with maybe Jeremy or something. But yeah, I don't do very many Freedom Fiend shows anymore.
Yeah, it's like you've gone down to the farm club, no pun intended. A little bit.
Yeah, that's what I like doing.
So, how's life treating you out there? Have you died of pumping your own gas yet?
Yeah,
because you do live in Oregon.
That's
not
right.
Oregon.
That's right, Oregon. Yeah, and now we're allowed Fiend to pump phone. Our own gas.
Fiend phone.
Yeah, so what's up with that? You haven't been subjected to that sort of torture yet, have you?
No, actually, I don't have very many rural gas stations nearby. I think that's kind of more for probably eastern Oregon and areas where it would be more practical. I don't know, but I don't know exactly what the rules are, but the places I go still have attendance. People still come up and get the gas for me.
Okay, for some reason I was thinking that you were in rural Oregon. You know, where the deer and the antelope and the yak play?
Yeah, I am, but I'm so rural that we don't have any gas stations out here, so we have to go to town.
Okay, so you're kind of like Bear Saskatchewan then.
Yeah, it's a whole trip just to get gas, and sometimes it's just to get gas, and that's
yeah. How far do you have to go?
It's probably not even 30 minutes to get to the nearest town.
Okay, and what is the nearest town, if you don't mind my asking?
Philomath, Oregon.
How big is this town?
I just was there and I was looking at it. It is, I think it's 3,500 people.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's half the size of the big town near me.
Yeah, it's got a big, it's attached to a larger town that's like 35.
Okay.
That's a little bit more.
All right.
But there's a little bit of distance between them, but it's mostly, they're slowly becoming the same city.
Okay, that's, all right, that 35,000, that's 10,000 more than the county that I live in.
Okay, wow, yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit too people-y for me, though. Our motto, or at least my motto is, we're full, get out.
We're full,
get out. Go home. It's a nice place.
I like that.
It's a nice place to visit, but you better not stay more than a week. So what is it like? Is this the first time that I've spoken to you since this whole brouhaha? How many people have died in Oregon from pumping their own gas?
I don't think anybody has died. I haven't heard of anything at all. I don't think anybody. I don't know. I didn't hear anything about it. More people are upset about the taxes that are being voted on right now. But yeah, I haven't noticed anything. Nothing's really changed for anybody that I know.
Yeah, because some of the people that were complaining about being allowed to pump their own gas, because it wasn't mandatory. It wasn't like the government was going to take away the gas attendants and force everybody to pump their own gas. But you would have thought that was what was happening by the way people were complaining online. And I'm sure some of them were kind of trolling a touch. But I think there's some domesticated house pets out there that are like, I don't want to be allowed to pump my own gas. And, Which if somebody says, you know what, I really don't feel like getting out and pumping my own gas, or I don't want to get out and pump my own gas when the weather is really nasty like that, I can go with that. All right, that's fine. I share those sentiments on occasion. But when somebody says, I shouldn't be allowed to pump my own gas, that's when I'm just like, oh, my God, stop it. Stop it. Just go away.
Yeah, yeah. It's so pathetic. Like, you can't, you can't do it. You just can't. Right? Like, why not? It's not that hard. You know, it's... like, I don't know. It's just pathetic. People just decide, no, I don't want to.
Man. Well, you envision the people that you see on those infomercials on late night TV that are selling you products, and you get somebody, they go to put the credit card into the pump, and they bend their credit card or just completely miss the slot. They pull out the nozzle and spray themselves in the face with it, and then they're pumping gas all over the hood of their car, and their lighter falls out of their pocket, sets everything on fire. Like, oh my gosh, I wish I had somebody to pump my gas for me. So it's, but anyway, so what's new on the farm?
New on the farm, I just butchered a yak, and I have new meat, so that's nice. What else we have? We're having new babies, so we just had some new baby goats recently, and those are cute. And we're soon to have more, and that's pretty exciting.
Goats are fun to watch. They have some really good antics.
Yeah, they're crazy. They do little dances and stuff.
Yeah,
it's just hilarious.
I saw a video of baby goats dressed up in pajamas, and that was like the ultimate in cuteness.
Yeah, yeah. I love the baby goats are probably the cutest things on the farm. Like, piglets are pretty adorable because they're tiny, but the goats are just so much more friendly, and you can pick them up, and they are the cutest things. They're just so soft too.
So what do you do with the goats?
We milk them, and that's it, really. We they're mini Nubian goats, and yeah, they're a dairy breed, and that's what that's pretty much what all we do with them. We sell the male goats sometimes, and rent our buck out every once in a while too for breeding. We pimp them out.
Kind of like I did with you at Liberty Fest last year.
Yeah.
So, are you going to be bringing any yak meat to Liberty Fest, like some yak jerky or anything?
I'm thinking about trying to do that. I think it's pretty easy. I've got some plans to do it. I just need to be able to store enough of my roasts and plan it out. And I think I'll be able to do it. And I'm gonna try to make sure, so that way I can make some money while I'm there.
Okay, if you need to ship it to me, we can make arrangements on that.
Cool. I was gonna ask that, but I was gonna ask off air just to be polite.
Well, I'm not gonna give you my address on air. That's for certain.
Good.
But
good.
So, since I did mention the Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest, a little bit of shameless self-promotion here. The 6th annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest will be held at the Circle Pine Center, just outside of Delton, Michigan, or just outside of Kalamazoo, Michigan, in Delton, Michigan, from June 21st through the 25th. It starts on Thursday and goes through Monday. And scheduled speakers include Dana Martin, Brett Benat of the School Sucks podcast, Scott Horton of antiwar.com, and CJ Kilmer of the Dangerous History podcast. And there will be more.
Awesome. I'm really excited for that. I really enjoyed going to Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest last week or last year.
Yeah. There's some interesting names that have come up in the discussions. Of who's going to be there, because I'm on the organizing committee. A whole lot of organizing. It's more like I make a couple commercials and go on some podcasts to promote and things like that. But
man, I'm excited for Scott Horton. That guy, man, that's pretty wild. I just recently listened to a little bit of his stuff. I've heard him, you know, just throughout the years occasionally, and like his shows on LRN. But I've kind of neglected him. And I'm like, oh, man, this is fantastic stuff. And he just, I think he just released his book, but maybe it's been out for a while, on the war of Afghanistan. And that's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's called Fool's Errand. Let me talk for a minute while I Google that.
All right, absolutely. I don't know if people can hear the frog in the background, but I don't know where he is. But yeah, that'll be pretty cool to see him and to hear him speak, because he's one of the most exciting people. Because I've got buddies that want to go into the military, and I'm trying to get turn them on to actually learning the history of it, because they really believe in the idea of going there to help those people out. And, you know, I can respect that to a degree, but it's like, well, the problem is you don't actually help them out. Like, it's good intentions, but, you know, the road to hell is paved with good intentions.
With government intentions.
That's right.
So, yeah, it's called Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
It is available on Amazon.
Yeah. But I believe that he goes into the history of how it all started, and all my limited knowledge is that, you know, the Soviet Union sent their military in there and messed around, and then the U.S. and the British funded what then became Al-Qaeda to fight them, and then the U.S. and then NATO. I don't know that much, you know, I don't know how much NATO was involved, but I believe everybody was involved, went in there, and it's a pretty messed up thing, and it's not really any better than it was. And it was a lot better in the 80s before the Soviets got in there in the first place.
Well, it was a lot better in the 60s and 70s. Back in the days when women didn't have to wear beekeeper suits and you didn't have the crazies running the show. We'll be back.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
You know you want to be a filmmaker. As Rick of Rick and Morty says, school's not a place for smart people. Nowhere is this more true than film school. Don't waste years and $100,000 being taught by those who couldn't make it. Just get a camera and a $7 Kindle version of $30 Film School 3rd Edition. $30 Film School 3rd Edition is the recent update on the classic 2003 book that helped spark the do-it-yourself filmmaking revolution. Written by DIY filmmaker Michael W. Dean, whose high-quality, low-budget movies star Academy Award winners and nominees, get worldwide distribution, and have been in many respected film festivals. The first two editions sold over 100,000 copies, and it's recommended reading in many colleges. The book is back, updated for today's high-def consumer cameras, but still has the same self-starter ethic and tips that no other book has. Get it delivered this minute to your Kindle or phone for only $7. Go to Amazon and type in $30 Film School 3rd Edition. That's $30 Film School 3rd Edition.
Freedom Beans. Yeah, this is Lou, and I'm joined by Nick. I'm glad to see that you're back. Nick is on Goat Watch. What's going on with that, Nick?
I'm not sure if a goat is going into labor. They like kind of have a sign, or they kind of hang off a little bit off from everybody, and they lay down, and they kind of look like they're straining. So I think that's what this goat is doing, but it's kind of like in the early stage. So I don't entirely know, but we'll see how she goes.
So what's going to happen if your goat does go into labor tonight? Are you going to have to take off from the show and put on your surgical scrubs?
Hopefully,
and deliver a kid?
Hopefully not, but I might have to. If there's like complications, and goats are one of those creatures where it occasionally has complications because those babies are long and gangly and they get twisted up sometimes. So I might have to put on some gloves and pull a kid out of there. But hopefully not. And most of the time they do it on their own, and I might have to sit out for like a segment or two, but just to make sure that it's okay, but I should be able to stay on for a while.
Okay, well, that's good to know that he may be a dad, might have to disappear. So, yeah. Alrighty. So anyway, yeah, before we went to break, we were talking about Afghanistan, and the history of Afghanistan is really, really interesting. And I'm just going to give the Cliff Notes Theater version of it. But if you go back to the 60s and 70s, the big cities of Afghanistan, like Kabul, were very modern. They were just as modern as any of the other cities around the world. Same with Iran also. Iran really went downhill in, I think it was 79 when they had the Islamic Revolution there.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, like I said, going back in those times, it was very modern. You didn't have women being subjugated or anything like that, not like it is now or under the Taliban. And the Soviets had invaded there in, I believe, that may have also been 79. It was late 70s, maybe 1980, because I think the U.S. assistance to the Mujahideen had started under Carter, under his watch, and then it progressed when Reagan took office. They were all these cave dwellers, farmers, whatever you want to call them, they were trying to fight back the Soviet Empire, which was quite formidable. But they weren't able to do it because the Soviets had the superior air power, and that was devastating to them. And the U.S. provided the Afghans and the Mujahideen with Stinger missiles, and then also training and other weapons. But those people later became Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. And the Al-Qaeda and the Taliban were separate groups, by the way, for those who don't know it. It was just this big, giant cluster bleep. And there was Charlie Wilson's War was a movie with Tom Hanks, and he plays a congressman who was pushing to continue aid and everything. And the way that they leave off was that at the end of the Soviet occupation, the U.S. just walked away and said, okay, we're done. It didn't build any schools. It didn't nation build and all this other stuff. And Horton had talked about how that was kind of fallacious and not really true, because that wouldn't have turned Afghanistan into something different. But all through history, nations and empires have invaded Afghanistan. They all met with the same fate of getting their butts handed to them. So that's why Afghanistan is referred to as the place where empires go to die. And quite frankly, the Soviet Union, that was their version of Vietnam. That is what really helped to take down the whole Soviet Union. I think you were on when I was talking about that TV show, The Americans.
Yeah.
And there's reference to that because it takes place in the 80s, and there's reference to that, the main character, his son that he didn't know about, who he finds out about as the show goes on, his son gets deployed to Afghanistan. And then,
oh, wow.
Yeah, deals with some other stuff. And there's people on the show that they lose brothers and sons and other family members to the war in Afghanistan. Because that was a pretty long, drawn-out thing for them. I think it was probably about 10 years for them. And wow. There's some speculation that they went in there to stop the opium trade, because it was the heroin was going into the Soviet Union and screwing things up, and it's believed that the CIA was responsible for that. But I don't know how true that is. But anyway, we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Cell 411 is a great free app for Android and iPhone. It allows you to set up public and private cells for dealing with crime, emergencies, setting up neighborhood watch, activism, and even protecting your kids from bullies on the street or at school. Cell 411 gives your cells turn-by-turn directions to your location with one touch on your phone. There is also a Bluetooth panic button available that can be worn on your wrist, belt, or around your neck. Cell 411 has real-time chat for each alert, so you can discuss the incident with family or friends in real-time video streaming. The video is stored on Cell 411's servers, so your evidence cannot be deleted if your phone is taken or destroyed. Cell 411 has decentralized ride-sharing that allows for payment in any form, crypto, barter, silver, cash, etc. Cell 411 does not take a cut of your fare. Get Cell 411 free on Google Play and the iTunes Store, or go to getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
Freedom Fiends, this is Lou and Nick, and trigger warning, put on your protective suit, your biohazard radiation resistance suit, because this story that we're about to cover right now is cancer, is pure, unbelievable, carcinogenic cancer, and this comes to us, this is horrible. I only allot myself so many swear words per month. I don't swear a whole lot. And I've gone through September just talking about this to myself with my allotment of swear words. So I may not be able to cuss not once at Liberty Fest. But anyway, this article comes to us from the New York Post, and I believe it was originally in Fox News. People who practice yoga contribute to white supremacy, professor claims. Let me read this one more time. People who practice yoga contribute to white supremacy, professor claims. This is going to be painful. So it starts off, white people who do a downward facing dog are contributing to a system of power, privilege, and oppression, according to a Michigan State University professor. Michigan State is the party school here in Michigan. The MSU Spartans, when they have football games, the students burn furniture in the streets. And they're, how can I put it? The joke is that Michigan State is where people go when they can't hack it at community college. But anyway, Sharina Gandhi, a religious studies professor at Michigan State, claims in one article she recently co-authored that Americans who practice yoga are contributing to white supremacy and promote the yoga industrial complex. Nick, could you tell me how you have been oppressed by the yoga industrial complex? Can you tell me how the YIC has devastated Oregon, out where you live? How they've gone around putting up yoga studios all over the place and sporting goods stores. They're moving the hockey gear off to the side and replacing it with yoga pants and in sweatbands. Could you tell us how the sporting goods stores have been gentrified by yoga gear?
That's right. It happens. There's no longer any fishing gear. At least it used to be mostly fishing and hunting gear, and now it's not. I don't know. I don't see yoga people very often. I don't notice any industrial complex of yoga. Like there's, I guess there are definitely more yoga instructors. For sure, and there are more yoga studios, but not that many here in like the Corvallis and Dallas and Philomath regions.
White Americans should learn yoga's history, acknowledge the cultural appropriation they engage in, and possibly reduce the cost of yoga classes for poor people. A group that often includes people of color and recent immigrants such as, wait for it, Indian women, to whom this practice rightfully belongs, Gandhi argued.
Oh, man.
They should... where do I start with this? Okay, this whole cultural appropriation thing. Do you know what the alt-left and the alt-right have in common? Neither one of them wants white people to adopt stuff from other cultures. It's called cultural appropriation. Meanwhile, in reality, it's just adopting or taking part in or enjoying these things. I had tacos for dinner tonight. It was wonderful. I had Taco Tuesday on Wednesday. And in discussions with somebody about this earlier, my coworker says, you can't have Taco Tuesday on a Wednesday. That would be anarchy. And I'm like, yes, it would. So... But I am culturally appropriating Mexican food by eating tacos. And apparently I'm oppressing people by my choice of food rather than actually just enjoying it. So anyway, I don't know where this comes from about the cost of yoga classes for poor people needs to be reduced. Here's a thought. Could poor people get together and do their own classes at an affordable rate? As a matter of fact...
Go ahead. Use YouTube?
Yeah. It's not like there's not a million videos on there about yoga.
Exactly. It's not that hard to get to do it for very cheaply, right? It's just... Yeah, lazy people. I don't know where those, why that's, out of anything, yoga classes, people need to have reduced cost of yoga classes.
Yeah, well, for poor people and people of color and recent immigrants, they're the ones that need the reduced cost. And the Indian women, because apparently their yoga was taken away from them and now they need to get it back, but they need it at a discount. According to this idiot, I mean professor. So anyway, she co-authored the piece titled Yoga and the Roots of Cultural Appropriation with Lily Wolf, a self-described anti-racist white Jewish organizer, facilitator, and healer who has called for decolonizing yoga. The College Fix reported.
Decolonizing
yoga. What does this even mean?
I guess it's like colonization, right? It has something to do with that. Decolonizing, that's interesting.
What I'm thinking is that when the British went into India and colonized it, and they went in there and says, we have discovered India for the crown. And they're like, no, you didn't discover nothing. We're already here.
Yeah.
Apparently, some limey says, "Oi, you can't be doing yoga anymore. That's our thing now, because we're whiteys." So, anyway, the two argued the explosion of yoga studios, yoga video apps, yoga pants, and other yoga swag over the last two decades is evidence. I'm picturing Perry Mason waving something around in his hand in the courtroom of the misappropriation of yoga that is part of systemic racism built on the labor of black people and people of the global south. So if you have an explosion of yoga studios and you apply supply and demand laws to it and the videos and the apps, how much do apps go for? Oh, that's right. Most of them are free. Speaking of free apps, get cell411.com. If you run into this professor, you can confront her and call her an idiot and then stream the video live to to the secure servers. Perfect. And you can call your friends for help if she tries to scratch at your ankles. But anyway. So the misappropriation of yoga, I'm running out of words for this. This is so stupid. I actually read this story and thought about what I was going to say, and I'm still having trouble because of the stupidity. So
yeah, it's just kind of dumbfounding.
Now, what's really interesting is I think if white people said, "Oh, I'm not doing that Indian stuff," they'd get called racist for that. So these people that are so-called anti-racist, well, first of all, they see race in everything. And I personally think that they're projecting some of their self-conscious or subconscious onto everything else. But anyway, where were we? All right. Oh, and how was yoga built on the labor of black people and people of the global south? I mean, this is just like a copy and paste line. You pull the string in their back and they throw that in there. Right. It's kind of like a reflex, I suspect. But anyway,
I mean,
go ahead.
I guess yoga was invented by people of the global south, but how is this systemic? I don't know. I mean, I don't get. Like, I guess I get where the stretch comes from. I see where the colonization of India and the introduction to yoga into like Western, you know, culture. I get that, and I kind of see like, oh, now and then through capitalism, but the yoga pant, like what does that do? What does the yoga video and apps and yoga pants do for the like, I don't know. I guess I just don't see the issue there.
I am pro.
Like, I see that
pants.
There's problems with the colonization, but after that, it's, I don't know.
I'm going to go on the record. I am pro yoga pants. I'm not that, congressman from one, it may have been Wyoming or one of those other uptight states. Sorry, Michael. But, there was a congressman who wanted, or I don't know if he was a U.S. congressman or a state rep or whatever, but he wanted to introduce legislation to ban yoga pants because women were being immodest. That was the American Taliban. But anyway, he wants women in the beekeeper suits. So marching on, we would argue one of the goals of white supremacy is to buffer white people from the pain that comes from the process of exchanging cultural grounding for the unearned power and privileges of whiteness, they wrote. This modern-day trend of cultural appropriation of yoga is a continuation of white supremacy and colonialism, maintaining the pattern of white people consuming the stuff of culture that is convenient and portable while ignoring the well-being and liberation of Indian people.
What? Jeez.
Now, yoga is not a scarce resource to where if one person is doing it, it stops somebody else from doing it. Is it possible that maybe people have taken up yoga? This is just a stretch, but maybe they've taken up yoga because of health reasons?
Yeah. My dad started doing yoga, and both my parents have, and they say that their mobility and just able to do their ability to do things is so much better, and so they're doing it twice a week just for health reasons.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be starting it sometime soon. I really need to knuckle down and get busy with it. I've figured out which videos I'm going to use, and I got a yoga mat, but I need to knuckle down and quit procrastinating. But anyway, we'll be back after this trip to the market.
Thanks.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've run websites since 1996 and have used over a dozen web hosts in that time. AgoristHosting.com is the only one that hasn't broken my heart. Agorist Hosting's uptime and service is stellar, and their DDoS mitigation is the best I've seen. That's important because if you tell the truth in this world, you'll ruffle feathers. And some people will try dirty tricks to silence your voice. No matter what the haters hit us with, Agorist Hosting keeps our websites online. If you have a mission-critical commercial presence or a world-changing activism site, you cannot tolerate any skullduggery. So go with agoristhosting.com. Have a WordPress or blog site, but you're not satisfied with performance or uptime, or just want raw hosting? Want to pay with Bitcoin? Agorist Hosting specializes in high-performance hosting with personalized service. Go to agoristhosting.com and click on the button that says Get Hosted. That's agoristhosting.com.
Joined by Nick, and we are talking about how white people doing yoga is oppressive, racist, white supremacist, and this article is cancer. So, we've dealt with the yoga industrial complex, the fact that even though there's free yoga apps and videos out there, apparently the price needs to be lowered even more, below zero, particularly for Indian immigrant women who own yoga, but it was apparently taken away from them during colonization. So, let's see. Okay, I read that part. Now, here's the part that's a real shocker. Gandhi and the religious department at MSU did not respond to Fox News' request for comment. Gandhi said few white people, and this is referencing the original article that all this was gathered from. Gandhi said few white people make the connection between their attraction to yoga and the cultural loss their ancestors and relatives experienced when they bought into white dominant culture in order to access resources. I'm not really sure what in the happy Halloween that means, but anyway. But white people who twist their bodies in different yoga positions can do something about it, according to Gandhi. Given a deeper analysis of yoga, white yoga practitioners and teachers can engage in yoga in a decolonizing way that reduces harm and seeks greater cultural accountability, she wrote. How? I can understand using ergonomic movements in order to reduce harm to yourself. I don't know how you decolonize, but anyway, I don't know what cultural accountability is either. I think it's horrible that I have the social justice warriors and the cultural justice warriors telling me that I can't enjoy things that aren't of my birth culture or of my color. It's really idiotic. But anyway, especially during this time when the underbelly of capitalism, white supremacy, cis heteropatriarchy. Did I pronounce that right? Is that even a real word?
Cis
heteropatriarchy. So that is cis is being of your natural born gender. Hetero meaning not gay. Patriarchy means male privilege or being in charge because you're a male. So it's not the whole word together is nonsense. The three of them separately are nonsensical, but I just, oh God. Anyway, and xenophobia is being exposed. So it's xenophobic to engage in yoga. It's xenophobic to engage in an activity of a different culture. Huh?
That doesn't sound right. Because xenophobia is hating other cultures, right? Or fearing other cultures.
Right.
I'm not.
It is imperative that everyone, especially those who have access to spiritual practices like yoga, ask difficult questions of ourselves and one another, the two concluded. We must ask, in what ways are we complicit in a system that harms people of color, queer and trans people, poor people, people with disabilities, and immigrants? So remember this, the next time you are stretching and doing the downward facing dog or other moves that I don't know the names of, remember that you are oppressing people and that you are bad for it. How dare you stretch in a culturally appropriated way? Because I don't know.
Racism.
The whole point, because racism and capitalism and yoga industrial complex. So I guess the point that I wanted to make here is that I give a lot of grief to the right wingers for being stupid. And don't get me wrong, I'm still going to keep giving them grief. But this is the absolute nonsense that probably had an impact on creating the alt-right and making it what it is today. And it was a stupid response to it, but it's a response nonetheless. I think we'll talk about that a little bit when we come back for the second hour. Go check out your donation.
Biptunia, music for the drive to Alpha Centauri. Biptunia's influences are Gary Numan, Brian Eno, Pink Floyd, David Bowie, Led Zeppelin, Grateful Dead, Frank Zappa, Robert Fripp, Blondie, Kraftwerk, and Dead Kennedys. Petunia's styles are trip-hop, rock, pop, glam, industrial, ambient, jazz, and space. Plus, it's got cats and is covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. You can download Biptunia's music free. Go to biptunia.com. That's B-I-P-T-U-N-I-A. Bravo, India, Papa, Tango, Uniform, November, India, Alpha. Biptunia.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. So, are you a new dad yet?
No, I'm not. I kind of think she's faking. She's walking around now, so we'll see. But no goats yet.
Okay, now a little context for the listeners that may have just tuned in.
Nick, if you're asking me to.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You don't want people thinking that you're a freak, do you?
No, I don't. Yes, I'm a milk dairy farmer. I guess I don't really do it very often, but I am involved in the dairy. I raise yaks and goats and hogs. And right now we have some pregnant goats, and I'm watching one. She was just laying down and acting like maybe she was given labor, but now she's walking around and she doesn't really seem like she is. So I don't really know, but she might have been faking. I don't know.
Well, I wish you luck in your animal husbandry.
Thank you, yes.
So, and speaking of freaky stuff, I want to go back to this article that we just covered. And for those of you that are just tuning in, the article is, "People who practice yoga contribute to white supremacy, professor claims." And this is the fueling of the yoga industrial complex. And what was that collection of words thrown together at the very end? Okay. Especially during this time when the underbelly of capitalism, white supremacy, cis heteropatriarchy, and xenophobia is being exposed, it is imperative that everyone, those who have access to spiritual practices like yoga, ask difficult questions of ourselves and one another, the two concluded. We must ask, in what ways are we complicit in a system that harms people of color, queer and trans people, poor people, people with disabilities, and immigrants by doing stretching exercises? And
wow.
The reason that I wanted to touch on this a little bit more is, well, one, this is pure cancer. It is completely worthy of being ridiculed. This deserves to be ridiculed. It deserves to be ridiculed loudly. I hope we pick up extra pirate stations to ridicule this. That's how much this needs to be ridiculed. This needs to be ridiculed so much, I should have broken into the State of the Union speech last night and read this article for people to hear it. And the reason I bring this up is because when I saw this article posted on Facebook originally, a friend of mine had posted it with the comment, "And this is why Trump got elected." Now, well, there's some truth to that, but it's not sensible. And what it comes down to is there's a belief that the alt-left, and this falls in the category of the alt-left, a bunch of idiot commie mouth breathers. The alt-left is what fueled the growth of the alt-right, meaning the fascist idiot mouth breathers.
Yep.
And I've always believed this, even though I haven't always thought that it was a good idea. one extreme to the one extreme is a response to the other extreme. It's a pendulum thing. You got the voters that go their entire life wanting to be abused by Democrats, and then you got the other group of voters that go their entire lives wanting to be abused by Republicans. Those are called partisans, and they're consistent in who they want to be abused by. And then you have the swing voters that actually decide the elections because every couple of years they change their mind on who they want to abuse them. So you get this little trend of the they go from Democrats and they're like, oh no, I don't like being abused by Democrats. I'm going to be abused by Republicans for a couple of years. They go over there and they get tired of that, and then they go back and forth. And the one thing that they're consistent on is wanting to be abused. They just can't figure out and decide who they want to be abused by. But anyway, so what I think happened is you get nonsense like this popping up out of the left, and it fuels the response of the alt-right. It's not sensible. You can hate communists without becoming a fascist. And a lot of people have chosen to go the fascist route simply because it's the opposite, or they see it to be the opposite of the communists. But what they don't realize is that communism and fascism are just kissing cousins of collectivism. These alt-right people that they're talking about, that white people should stick with white culture, the traditional white European culture, or whatever it is that they're popping off about, are saying the same thing as these idiots that are accusing people of cultural appropriation. They have the same stupid message. And heaven forbid people exercise because it's healthy. It doesn't have to be because you hate your own race or you hate somebody else's race. And that's the choices you have with these two extremes. So personally, I think the better thing to do was say, you know what, this side over here on the far left, they're a bunch of blithering idiots. This group over here on the far right, they're a bunch of blithering idiots. And just say no to blithering idiots.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this? Do you have any observations on this from what you've seen with your small amount of time that you spend on social media or talking to other people while getting your gas pumped?
I guess I've never really heard of anybody being upset about cultural appropriation of yoga, and I've never even thought about it. But it's interesting because it is something that a lot of white people are doing because people are doing it in general. It's becoming more popular because of the amazing benefits it has. And that's what it really seems to me is that's why people are interested in it. It has nothing to do with the colonization of India. And I get that there's that history there and it happened and it is related just because yoga comes from India and this colonization happened in India. And, maybe there was, I don't know, some influence there, but right now it's not. Yeah, I don't think it's really about that.
But the thing is, yoga wasn't stolen from Indians. It wasn't stolen. They still had it. It's almost like they're talking about IP. They stole our idea. No, the idea wasn't stolen. You have it. Indians were always able to do yoga, and the knowledge wasn't taken away from them.
Exactly. Like, it's still there. So what are they? Yeah, well, I guess what did they really want out of this? They want more recognition and reduced cost of their yoga classes.
Okay, and you got the yoga videos. You got the yoga apps. Those cost nothing. As a matter of fact, you could download yoga videos with some of the apps. And take them with you for when you're on the far side of Bear Saskatchewan and you don't even have cell service. So you don't even need access to YouTube. So yeah. I mean, if people want lower costs, if people think that certain groups should have lower cost yoga classes, then why not create their own?
Yeah, do it. You make a living doing that.
Yeah. So it's but. What I'm saying is, with all this, and the term cultural Marxism is used quite a bit. I don't know that that's the appropriate term because I've never really heard an explanation of why it's cultural Marxism. I just go with stupidity, idiocy, you know, the usual standard stuff. I don't think we need to throw in other descriptions for it. The old tried and true insults and denigrations work just fine. But I can see where people would get angry over this idiocy, and that's what it is idiocy. I can see where people get angry over it. But rushing into the arms of something equally stupid is not the solution, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no reason to mistake somebody saying that you shouldn't. I don't know. I can't think of an example. Like, what would the alt-right say? It's something ridiculous, right? You shouldn't practice yoga because it's some inferior racist thing, or somebody saying you shouldn't practice yoga because it's been tainted. It's not for white people. Like, I don't know. It's why limit yourself? Why have all these limitations on what you can do? Why not just do? Hey. We're all people. We've all been doing stuff around this world. Like, why does anybody have a particular ownership of an idea based on their ethnicity and where they came from? That doesn't make any sense to me. Like you said, they don't own the idea. And guess what? They still have it too, right? Everybody has it now. And why not just share? And I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. Seems kind of just sour over things that didn't directly happen to you, and to people who didn't directly do anything, right?
Yeah, it's just stupidity on both ends. And speaking of more stupidity, the next story that we're going to cover, and this is just absolutely idiotic, the libertarian case for drug prohibition. The libertarian case for drug prohibition, and this comes from Timothy Hsiao. I think that's pronounced Shao, possibly. And this is on thepublicdiscourse.com, and originally it comes from. He's a professor of humanities at Grantham University. His website is timshao.org. This article is adapted from his journal article, Why Recreational Drug Use is Immoral, which is forthcoming in the National Catholic Bioethics Quarterly. So he's talking about the I think he's taking a religious view. Strangely enough, I'm assuming he's a Catholic, but he's taking the Baptist view on drug use. But apparently, we have a positive right to sobriety. Did you know that?
What does that mean?
Well, there's certain positive rights out there. Free health care, free education, free walls, and free sobriety. We'll be back.
Free sobriety.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains, because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Freedom Fiends. This is Lou, and I'm joined by Nick, and we're going to talk about the next really stupid story of the night. The libertarian case for drug prohibition. Now, I know you're probably saying, what in the heck is he talking about? Libertarian case for drug prohibition? Yes, it's true. Somebody has gone out there and thrown words together in an order that they do not belong and is propagating the stupid idea. So, many libertarians argue that we should legalize recreational drugs in the name of freedom and personal autonomy. Drug prohibition, they argue, infringes on personal freedom by denying individuals the liberty to do what they want with their own bodies. This is mistaken. In fact, it is drug legalization that infringes on freedom. Drug prohibition, not legalization, is the real pro-liberty position. So you can't have liberty without prohibition, right? Nick, are you there? are you laying on the floor convulsing as you hear this?
This is crazy. I don't even know.
And no, this article is not from georgeorwell.com. It's not.
Man.
So he goes on. Let me explain the foundations of freedom. Dun, 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 dun. All should agree that one of the essential responsibilities of government is to protect and promote personal freedom. No, they should not agree to that, because a government that is strong enough to protect your freedom is also strong enough to take it all away. And the track record for that has been what? That's what I thought. If I had a dollar for every time government protected freedom, I'd be $20 trillion in debt. Oh, wait. To that end, governments have an interest in restricting activities that impair, destroy, or otherwise undermine personal freedom. Now, freedom cannot flourish unless certain background conditions are met. Consider an analogy with markets. If a government wants to protect and promote markets, that's called socialism, then it must safeguard the conditions that make a market economy possible. Actually, the very existence of government destroys the conditions of a market economy. It's what makes the market economy less possible. These conditions include the protection of life, exchange, contracts, and private property, which those are pretty good things. And to me, they're good enough that I would never trust it. An entity so corrupt and incompetent as a government to protect them. Without these prerequisites in place, it would be all but impossible for markets to flourish. Interestingly enough, though, I see these things as kind of being the default setting. You don't need government in place for this to happen. As a matter of fact, I think that private property contracts exchange would be a lot more secure without government interference. You don't need government to facilitate exchange. Matter of fact, there's a lot of exchange that is completely prohibited by government, and it still exists. It still happens. Mm-hmm. The same is true of freedom. If the government has a responsibility to protect and promote freedom, we've already established it doesn't, then it must also protect and promote the conditions that make it possible. On this point, one essential ingredient of personal freedom is rationality. Choices can only be free if they are made by a person whose cognitive faculties are functioning in the right way. Reason confers on our actions a certain order and intelligibility that make them explicable and coherent. It is what makes our actions ours, such as we are responsible for them. Our ability to act freely is diminished or destroyed if we are unable to deliberate and think coherently, or if we are subject to overwhelming coercive forces. Oh, you mean like government?
You're right. This isn't like... The problem to me here is...
It's trolling. Kind of,
yeah, this is like saying like the rationality thing. Like this... like. The thing about freedom is, oh, you have the choice between being rational or not. The rational part is just you're going to use your freedom wisely.
Well, Frank, rational is objective. People do what they perceive to be in their best interest. Whether or not it is in their best interest is irrelevant. They perceive it to be, therefore they do it. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
Case for drug prohibition. I said this in the last segment. I personally think that this guy is trolling. No, actually, I believe that he believes this nonsense. So, we have a positive right to sobriety. Our ability to act freely is diminished or destroyed if we are unable to deliberate or think coherently, or if we are subject to overwhelming coercive forces. Meaning government. In other words, freedom isn't just the bare ability to do something. It is the ability to act under the influence of properly functioning cognitive faculties. This point is pivotal in making sense of the legal concepts of consent, coercion, and competence. Young children are unable to enter into legally binding contracts because their cognitive capacities are not fully developed. Likewise, insanity defenses are based on the understanding that cognitively disabled or insane persons cannot be held criminally liable for their actions. There cannot be freedom without rationality. Well, the thing that you have to remember about small children is their cognitive faculties are not going to be better tomorrow. They're going to be better over time as they age and mature, but they're not going to be better tomorrow. The person who smokes some of the devil's lettuce or drinks some of the devil's rum will be okay tomorrow, but children will not. So this is kind of this is definitely a cop-out. I worked in a sales position before where people came in for presentations. I sold timeshare. And if they were drinking, you know, if they were under the influence of alcohol or anything like that, we couldn't do the presentation because then they would not be able to consent. And I don't even know if that was a law, but that was our policy. So I could be drunk, but the customer couldn't. Is how it worked out. So in that situation, they would get rescheduled for another day because it's a temporary lack of capacity. It's a temporary thing. But anyway, accordingly, since the government has a responsibility to serve and protect personal freedom, it must also protect and promote a culture that is conducive to clear thinking and discourages impaired thinking. The government, therefore, has a responsibility to restrict activities that impair, destroy, or otherwise undermine clear thinking. Oh, you mean like being tired? Yeah, because if you are very tired, you are definitely not thinking clearly. And trust me, there's been shows where I've been very tired and it was obvious. So, hey, what if you have the flu? What if you have a pounding headache? Because I had one of those recently, and I was definitely not at the top of my game. I definitely wasn't at full capacity. So if I'm tired or have a headache or I have the flu, I'm aching and just feel like crud. Getting sick and not getting enough sleep undermines freedom. Therefore, that needs to be illegal too, right?
Yep.
Because
gotta be.
because you have a positive right to sobriety.
Exactly.
Or you have a positive right to clear thinking through sobriety. So, recreational drug use undermines freedom, blah, blah, blah. Recreational drug users drug use interferes with clear thinking. The very activity is centered around the consumption of an intoxicating substance that impairs one's cognition. The whole point is to impair one's ability to think clearly, which in turn impairs one's ability to act freely. There was a certain line in here that... Okay. Opponents of drug legalization typically focus on the long-term effects of drug use and their spillover effects to third parties, specifically children and teenagers. There are very serious concerns, to be sure, but the immediate effects of drug use are by themselves enough to show that recreational drug use is intrinsically anti-ethical to the good of freedom and personal autonomy. The opponent of legalization need not appeal to third-party spillover effects to make his case. So, he also talks about medical cannabis. Here's one. Where libertarians go wrong. Where libertarians go wrong in their support for drug legalization is in their conception of freedom. We think of freedom as just the bare ability to make choices. Or if we think of freedom as just the bare ability to make choices, then it's understandable why one might think that drug restrictions infringe on personal freedom, since such restrictions do limit our ability to make a range of choices. But not all choices are worth respecting. As I noted earlier, we cannot respect freedom without also respecting the conditions that make freedom possible. One such condition is the preservation and maintenance of properly functioning cognitive faculties. Okay, so this guy keeps repeating the same nonsense all through here. There was one particular line that I got to. He bashes the medical devil's cabbage. The bottom line. To be clear, the argument I've offered here is not that recreational drug use should be restricted because it is unhealthy or immoral. Rather, it is that recreational drug use impairs and undermines the conditions for freedom. Repeating himself again. I think when you say something 10 times, then it becomes true. No, not really. And so the legalization of recreational drugs is incompatible with the vision of freedom. Of a freedom-respecting state. So you can't have freedom without restrictions. As John Stuart Mill said, the principle of freedom cannot require that one should be free not to be free. It is not freedom to be allowed to alienate his freedom. Well, actually, yeah, it is. And that's where consent comes in. A society that values freedom must cultivate a culture. No, freedom is an individual thing. It's not a free society. A free society is nothing more than free individuals.
Exactly.
So a society that values freedom must cultivate a culture that encourages clear thinking and discourages impaired thinking. For that reason, recreational drugs should be legally prohibited. Libertarians, therefore, should stand opposed to drug legalization. Okay, I'm going to encourage a culture of clear thinking. Don't read this idiot. Don't pay this guy any attention. You'll be able to think a whole lot better. You don't have the freedom to be unfree, is what he's saying. And you're unfree if you are clouding your mind. But there's so many things that happen. I mean, just after a long day's work, you're cognitively decreased. You know, you don't have the same thought capacity that you had at maybe 9 or 10 in the morning. I know I don't. So, this is just nonsense. This is just a way to wrap up authoritarianism and throw a libertarian label on it. It's complete and utter nonsense. What do you have to add on this, Nick?
Yeah, I think that it is just complete and utter nonsense. I really don't like this thing about the rationality either, because I don't get why that has to be the golden standard for anything like rationality.
But what is rationality?
That's the problem, right? Is what is it? Who decides? Who decides when you're rational? You have to have a government decide, right? And then you have some sort of test, some sobriety or a cognitive test to make sure that you're functioning exactly properly, that you've had the right proper glucose levels and nutrition to keep you up. That's ridiculous, because how far do you go? Where do you have to draw the line? Just seems like drawing the line at just let people make their own mistakes is that's a lot easier of a line to hold up.
So here we have the opposite of the alt-left story that we started off with. We have the, well, it's not really alt-right, it's more the, well, it's definitely on the conservative side, the bootleggers of Baptist argument. Oh, incidentally, he completely ignores the result of prohibition, because the prohibition is what fuels the drug wars and everything else. So the libertarian case for drug prohibition is that you want more black markets, you want more illicit markets, you want more violence, you want more tainted products out there. No, this guy's an idiot. My bad. So,
yeah, he's totally forsaking Austrian economics, right? Like this.
Yeah, he's not paying any attention to economics. He's just trying to. He's throwing the word libertarian around, and he's dead wrong on it. And this has nothing to do with the basic principles of libertarianism, that each person has a right to live their life as they see fit, so long as they don't infringe upon another's right to live their life as they see fit. I mean, that's what libertarianism is. Libertarianism isn't about moral crusading. It isn't about being the morally upright, omnipotent busybodies. As a matter of fact, I pulled this up. C.S. Lewis, of all tyrannies, a tyranny sincerely exercised for the good of its victims may be the most oppressive. It would be better to live under robber barons than under omnipotent moral busybodies. The robber baron's cruelty may sometimes sleep. His cupidity may at some point be satiated, but those who torment us for our own good will torment us without end, for they do so with the approval of their own conscience. They may be more likely to go to heaven, yet at the same time likelier to make a hell of earth. This very kindness stings with intolerable insult. To be cured against one's will, and cured of states which we may not regard as disease, is to be put on a level of those who have not yet reached the age of reason, or those who never will. To be classed with infants, imbeciles, and domestic animals. And that's from C.S. Lewis, God in the Dock, Essays on Theology, Making of Modern Theology. So this guy here is definitely coming from a theological point of view, and he basically wants to be the omnipotent moral busybody that C.S. Lewis just wrote about. He wants to control people, and he wants to push his own values onto others, which is also not libertarian.
Exactly. Yeah, this has got to be a guy trolling, or it's got to be somebody who just does not understand libertarianism.
Oh, definitely. And how many times have you heard people talk about, oh, Somalia, that's libertarian paradise? No, that's a failed socialist state. But anyway, we will be back.
Listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's Antiwar.com.
This is Lou, and I'm joined by Nick, and last night was the Status of the Union campaign event. Did you by chance happen to watch that, Nick?
I did not, actually. No.
Neither did I. I didn't even... I was going to live meme it, but I just really didn't want to watch it, because I knew that it was just going to be a Schumer show, and yep. from what I've heard... It was a Schumer show. It was not worth watching. But anyway, something very interesting happened last night. And I was reading about this earlier today. It turns out that last night Trump honored a man that illegally crossed borders several times in search of a better life. He was an admitted thief and smuggler, and as soon as he got to the new country, he started using public health benefits immediately. That sounds like the type of person that Trump and his supporters would generally want to keep out of America. But it's okay when other countries get them. And the story is about a guy who escaped from North Korea. And it does, if you're going to talk about people illegally crossing borders and illegally immigrating somewhere, and if you're going to go calling countries Schumer holes, and trust me, he escaped from a Schumer hole. But if you're going to criticize people for doing that when they come here, you probably shouldn't be celebrating them when they do it somewhere else. Because exactly. This guy did, he illegally crossed borders several times, going in and out of North Korea into China. And here's something that's really interesting. He says he never thought of deserting North Korea until 2000 when he made his way illegally to China. There he was given food in churches and saw that animals in China were fed better than North Koreans. A month later, when he returned home with some food for his family, that's smuggling, the secret police caught him and beat him for 20 days, he said. It was not the beating that really hurt me, he said. One of them said, "You cripple, begging in China before foreign cameras? You're an embarrassment for the leader and the country."
Wow.
"You are an embarrassment for the leader and the country." Why not just throw in all the troops that defend his freedom? It was then that I realized I had no future in North Korea. Now, one thing, I saw this in another article, and this is also mentioned at the bottom. There's not really any way to corroborate the claims that he's made over all this time. So you have to take him at his word for it. I don't know. I have no reason to disbelieve or believe strongly. But anyway, he was brought to the wherever it was that they did the State of the Union address, and he was there. And he brought his crutches. And the backstory on the crutches: on the night of March 7th, 1996, Mr. Xi was hurling sacks of coal off a train for his sister to gather up. They were stealing it. He fainted from hunger and exhaustion and tumbled between two cars. When he came to, he was beside the rails, the train pulling away. His left leg and arm had been cut off. His frantic sister was crying for help, even as other villagers scurried away with sacks of coal. He was carried to a local clinic where a doctor operated on him twice without anesthesia or a blood transfusion, he said. "I could feel my spine rattling as he sawed off the bones," Mr. G said. "I could hear blood dripping into a basin underneath. The doctor kept talking to me to keep me from passing out. After he recovered, he began going to markets and train stations on his crutches, begging and pilfering food." And it's truly an amazing story. He and his brother had taken off to escape North Korea, and they separated because he was on these crutches and he's obviously handicapped, and he didn't want to slow down his brother. He wound up going through, where was it? I think he wound up in Laos and getting hooked up with the embassy there. But the bottom line is, if you're going to celebrate somebody for doing something, don't criticize somebody else for doing the same thing.
Yep, exactly.
So, thanks for coming on tonight, Nick. It's always a pleasure. I'm happy that you survived the gas pump apocalypse out there in Oregon. Thank you to everybody for listening tonight. And for more Freedom Fiends, go to freedomfiends.com.
Worms.
Worms.